Good morning, Connecticut. And to our friends across the Sound, it's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning in to Connoisseur Media's award-winning public affairs program for the people, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. If you think you've been experiencing heightened anxiety over the past couple of years, think about what it's doing to our kids. Well, we're going to open checking in with the top leader from the anxiety program at the Yale Child Study Center to see how they've been trying to help. And we're going to hear all about what's in store and how you can get involved in their 8th annual Spotlight on Anxiety Forum for concerned parents and professionals. Then we're going to get you hungry for helping out a good cause as we welcome back Jersey Mike's to talk about how their month of giving is doing while getting you prepped for their day of giving. All proceeds from both of these activities is going to support the 2022 Special Olympics USA Games. So, of course, we're going to also check in with Connecticut Special Olympics to find out about the athletes representing our state in the games this June. Then we're going to close helping celebrate the Waterbury Palace Theater's 100th anniversary and chat with its director about all the ways you can come out and enjoy this beautiful Connecticut entertainment landmark and all the activities planned for their centennial year. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. Ableis, a nonprofit that provides services and support to more than 800 individuals with special needs and their families, is hosting Project Search Information Night on Wednesday, March 16th at 5 p.m. That's this Wednesday. This free event will be held at the Darien YMCA on the Post Road, and it's open to families with young adults with disabilities ages 18 through 30. The Project Search Information Night will provide information on two internship programs Ableis is running in partnership with Greenwich Hospital and the Darien YMCA. But space is limited, so register now by visiting Ableis, that's ableis.us/calendar. Well, we've got a familiar voice on the program and a fantastic resource that we've recently come in contact with over the past year or so. Ellie Leibowitz is here. Dr. Leibowitz is an associate professor at the Yale Child Study Center's Anxiety and Mood Disorder Program. And when last we talked to Dr. Leibowitz, we were talking about some openings in some important studies for young people experiencing anxiety. And Dr. Leibowitz, thank you so much for joining us again and spending some time talking about this fantastic opportunity for parents and professionals to come together at the 8th annual Spotlight on Anxiety Forum that's coming up next month. So we'll talk a lot about that in the next few minutes. But first, can you just remind folks or inform folks that may have not been with us at our last visit a little bit more about your program and what you folks are doing there?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I'm really happy to be able to talk about this topic. There's never been a more important time to talk about anxiety in youth. You know, even in the best of times, anxiety is such a common mental health problem for children. And let's face it, we've not been living through the very best of times, and so many children are struggling. And our program at the Child Study Center provides assessment and evaluation, as well as treatment, evidence-based treatments for children and families impacted by anxiety. And we're really committed to helping as many families as possible, and also to learning as much as we can about the best ways to help children struggling with anxiety.
So how long have you been affiliated with the program, Dr. Leibowitz?
Let me see. It's about 12 years.
Okay. So, you know, obviously things got really, really bad as the pandemic drew on longer and longer. Now, as we're sort of standing at a point where a lot of young people are going back to school, they're getting back to a lot more in-person activities, are you sort of looking across the landscape of the families and young people that you deal with and seeing any measure of relief, or are things still the same or even getting worse?
Well, at the moment, we're not yet at the point of relief. I think we're all looking forward to that, but we're not yet at the point of relief. You know, before the pandemic, anxiety was really the most common mental health problem, impacting about one in three children. And a lot of research, both by our team here at Yale and also all around the world, is showing that those rates are literally doubled since the start of the pandemic. And so we're talking about a huge number of children, and we're not yet seeing the kind of relief that we're hoping for. I think lots of programs all around the country are really feeling overwhelmed by the real crisis in mental health that we are living through. That's why we called this year's Spotlight on Anxiety Forum, we called it the other pandemic, because we're also focused on, you know, the
COVID,
so-called real
the
pandemic,
COVID situation,
COVID-19,
sure.
COVID situation, and of course that's so important. But alongside that, there's like a shadow pandemic of mental health problems, and we are still very, very much in the thick of it.
Yeah, and this was ramping up long before we ever heard of this issue affecting this small area of China back in late 2019. We were talking to mental health professionals, medical professionals, human services professionals about a horrible lack of support for younger people across Connecticut years before the pandemic hit.
Absolutely. That is exactly right. Children really struggle and often will wait for a long time before they're actually able to get into the kind of services that they need. And one thing that we know with anxiety is that when it's not treated in a prompt way, it's often what we think of as a kind of gateway disorder, because it will also predict the onset of additional problems like depression, and even some physical health problems. And so it's really so important to be able to treat this.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I suspect our society and our economy are going to be feeling the impacts and the side effects of this period of heightened anxiety among young people for generations to come.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. These have been 2 years already that have been almost engineered to make anxiety worse. And we are seeing that, and we're going to see the fallout of that for a long time to come.
Yeah. Well, how are you folks at the Anxiety and Mood Disorders Program working to help? Is there still room for some young people in a few of the studies that you have open right now?
There is. We are doing absolutely everything possible to maintain enrollment in those studies so that more children can get help, and so that we can continue to deepen knowledge and to share that knowledge with the rest of the world and how to help children. And so currently there are two studies that are still actively enrolling children. And so children as young as 6 years old and all the way through age 14, whose parents think they might be struggling with anxiety, whether it's something the child is saying, whether it's something the parent is noticing, or maybe it's something that a teacher or a pediatrician is bringing up, can reach out to us. We can set up an assessment at no cost to families who participate in research. So there's no out-of-pocket expense or even insurance billing for families who are going through the research, and they can get treatment. If they're eligible, they can get treatment through those studies as well. Can I give the phone number for our program?
Oh, please do.
Program?
Sure. Yep.
Yeah, let me give that, because you know, people will be listening to this and thinking, okay, but how do I get in? And so the easiest thing is to simply call 203-737-4644. And if we don't pick up the phone right away, leave us a message. We will get back to you quickly, and we'll talk over the situation. What are you noticing in your child? What are the problems that you're observing? And we'll do everything we can to get you in as soon as possible.
Sure. And if people are driving or don't have their hands on a way to write the number down, they can always go to our radio station website and pull down the podcast tab and access the recording of this interview under the For the People tab and get that information, or they can web search the Yale Child Study Center's Anxiety and Mood Disorders Program. So we'll hopefully connect you with some parents. But I know when we talked the last time, I was so excited in the last few moments that we had together offline as you were telling me about this upcoming forum and getting you back on ahead of it to let people know, because so many times parents feel like there's a real chasm in between them and sometimes even their kids' teachers, and certainly between them and their kids' medical support, their pediatricians, their counselors and psychologists. And here you are bringing parents and professionals together in one single environment, all with the thought of addressing youth and child anxiety. Tell us more about how people can access this 8th annual Spotlight on Anxiety Forum.
Yeah, you could not have said that better. Thank you. I think that is, you really captured our intent in holding this forum. That is to bring together the people who are what you might call stakeholders in this, whether that is parents of children, whether that is teachers, or whether it's mental health professionals. And we've been doing this now for several years. This is our 8th year. They've been very, very well attended. And they're always designed to present cutting-edge information, the most evidence-based, the best researched information, but also to present it in a way that is really for everybody. So you don't have to be a scientist studying the brain or a doctor treating anxiety problems. You just need to be somebody who thinks this topic is relevant to me, to my family, to my students, or really anybody. And I think that you can find that information really, really relevant. Mm. And so, you can go online. You can just even search up the Spotlight on Anxiety Forum at Yale, and it's a very low cost to participate. We're really trying to make this as open to everybody as possible, and we're going to be doing it over Zoom this year because we know that a lot of people still have a lot of concern about large gatherings meeting together in the same room, and so it's going to be over Zoom, which means that we can even have even more people attend than we might if we did if we were gathering in person.
So as I'm reviewing some of the information here, I see some of the topics are going to include genetics, irritability, failure to launch, parenting children and adolescents, and somatic symptoms. Let's key in a little bit on the experts that you're bringing together, both from your program and from, I guess, around the world. That's the beauty of Zoom, isn't it? We can be in the same space with some of the greatest authorities on subjects, whether they're here in New Haven or in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we've really tried to bring the best speaker for each of these topics. You know, we have a talk on genetics that's being done by a doctor by the name of Emily Olson. She just published one of the very first papers, actually in collaboration with our team, actually pointing to the genetics of anxiety disorders. We've known for a long time that genetics play a role, but we've never really been able to understand what are the genes that are involved and things like that. And so she'll be talking about that, but again, at a level that is really just for anybody who's interested in it. Dr. Tseng will be talking about irritability, and that is such an important topic when we think about anxiety. You know, a lot of times if you close your eyes and you picture an anxious child, you might think of them as always looking scared and shy. But for so many kids, anxiety is going to manifest as anger and as irritability. You know, it's that fight, it's the fight half of fight or flight that is so often overlooked. And so we think that's going to be really important. We're going to talk about the impact of COVID, both at the kind of symptom and clinical level and even at the brain level. And we'll even have a talk that gets beyond childhood into young adulthood, which is another problem that is really impacted by COVID, are young adults who are struggling to transition into adulthood in a period of time when so many opportunities are really not there at the moment. So many people who have sort of returned home, maybe they're living with their parents, they're not able to find work, and they are struggling. And then we'll also talk, and I'll be speaking on the topic of somatic symptoms, meaning physical symptoms. You know, a lot of times anxiety is going to manifest that way as well. Maybe these unexplained physical symptoms, chronic pain, chronic fatigue that can have such an impairing impact on a child's functioning. I mean, it's so hard to go to school or hang out with your friends when your body just feels so bad. And so we'll be talking about that as well. And so we're really going to cover a whole range of topics and try to give people really practical takeaways that they can implement in their own lives.
And the beauty of the virtual environment in which this forum is going to be held provides, as much room as a coliseum, apparently, in terms of the amount of people who might be able to get in on the initial broadcast. But then it also gives you a chance to really capture it in a face-to-face kind of environment and maybe make it available at some point in one big chunk or in pieces to individuals who may not have been able to attend, or certainly to professionals and others in your circle of experts.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we all want to be able to meet in person, but as long as we have to do it over Zoom, let's take advantage of the benefits that that kind of virtual environment can provide as well.
Very good. Well, we really thank you for giving us a great preview, as well as reminding us of the important clinical trials that are going on right now at your organization, the Yale Child Study Center's Anxiety and Mood Disorders Program. This study center offers comprehensive evaluations and treatments for children and adolescents ages 6 to 14. And as you're hearing, even information and services beyond that age. Services are provided generally at no cost to families who are eligible to participate, but can otherwise be provided for a fee with a sliding scale plan available. To learn more, check out the Yale Child Study Center's Anxiety and Mood Disorders Program page on the internet. And once again, Dr. Ellie Leibowitz, who is a associate professor at the program, has been our guest this morning. Ellie, good luck with the event, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. Well, maybe you're feeling hungry. You're wondering where you're going to have lunch or dinner today or at some point for the rest of the month. Well, we've got the answer for you. Jersey Mike's. It's not just about an awesome sandwich or meal, but also about giving back. And there's no place that gives back like Jersey Mike's, not just throughout the entire month of March, but in this economy, in these days, how often do you hear about a company giving back 100% of the proceeds of a fundraiser to an important organization like Special Olympics? Well, that's what Jersey Mike's is doing for the 12th annual Month of Giving here in March. 100% of the sales donated on March 30th during their Day of Giving is going to help send athletes nationwide to the 2022 Special Olympics USA Games. And in just a few minutes, we'll be talking with a Special Olympics rep from here in Connecticut about some of the athletes that are going to be participating, in part thanks to Jersey Mike's. But right now, my pal Mitchell Thompson's on the line with us from Jersey Mike's. Mitchell, how you doing?
Hey, well, John, thanks for having me again. This has become quite the annual thing, me and you getting together.
I know. We should plan lunch one of these days, in between, and really take advantage of all the great offerings at one of the local Jersey Mike's. Plenty of locations all over Connecticut where folks are listening to the award-winning For the People today. And all of them, along with the dozens and hundreds of other franchises across the country, are all united this year around Special Olympics. That's pretty darned exciting.
Yeah, we about 2,300 locations countrywide, 34, I believe, in Connecticut. But this year we joined forces to really make a difference in the Special Olympics games and be their number one sponsor. I think it was easy to unify for such an amazing event, and we're real excited to be part of it this year.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the history of giving and how Jersey Mike's got started and how part of their mission getting off the ground with the first few restaurants already involved philanthropy.
Yeah, you know, our CEO, it's been a very family-owned and run business, and a lot of his mentors, local ice cream shop owner Bob Hoffman, and a couple other local restaurants always gave back to the high schools, the town baseball field and all that stuff. And it just always kind of been ingrained. And as Jersey Mike's grew, so did the ability to give more, to give more frequently. And every franchisee has kind of taken that and run with it. And it's kind of what led to the Day of Giving. A franchisee decided, hey, let's give 100% of sales to this local charity. And Jersey Mike's home office caught wind of it. And, you know, 12 years later, we haven't looked back and, you know, started raising a couple hundred thousand a year, turned into 6 million, 8 million. I think 2021 we raised, or 2020 we raised 16 million, looking as a company to push the 20 million mark in the month of March for a Special Olympics.
Well, Special Olympics has touched so many families and so many young people across the country. I can't imagine you not hitting that benchmark and going beyond, because it's a real easy way to both, you know, enjoy some great food, but also at the same time, at any point during March, as early as lunchtime today, you can go to a Jersey Mike's and help raise funds for this just by, you know, tossing your change or a few bucks into the donation receptacle. Or if you really want to, you know, duplicate or triple the power of your giving, bring yourself and a couple of friends out on March 30th on the Day of Giving. Let's hear a little bit more from you about that.
Well, all month long, most Jersey Mike's are offering, you know, you donate a dollar, we'll give you a dollar off your next visit. $3 gets you a free chip and drink. $5 gets you a free sub card for your next visit, which is just a no-brainer if you're a frequent customer or just getting in. A $5 lunch and 100% goes to Special Olympics, as you mentioned. And then the Day of Giving is March 30th. Yeah, 100% of sales of every single store in the country is going to go to a great cause. So every dollar you spend in our restaurants that day are going to go back to the athletes, their coaches, getting their families there, and making sure the event goes off without any hitches. And it's all about the athletes and competing. So we're really excited about it. Special Olympics has been a stellar partner. We've had athletes, I believe there's a basketball team and about a dozen other athletes from Connecticut representing our state. They've been in and out of our stores. They've been helping us make sandwiches. So on any given day, you might actually get to run into one of the athletes and their families and hear a little bit about their excitement and what it means to them. So, you know, this whole month long has just been, I know it's only about a week and a half in, but it's been great for our teams. We're real excited about it, and we'd love to see you out there.
Excellent. Well, you alluded to it a little bit earlier, Mitchell, that with all of the franchises and this massive growing network of thousands of Jersey Mike's across the country, this month of giving was an opportunity for the franchisees to connect with important organizations right in their own communities and in their own neighborhoods. But this year, in the 12th year, you're actually making history by uniting every single franchise around Special Olympics, and certainly, you know, that organization touches dozens, hundreds, thousands of young people and adults in every community where there's a Jersey Mike's and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, all of us are still pretty focused on the charities we've worked with in the past. We've already kind of committed as states to do, you know, extra days of giving for our other charitable groups. So we haven't lost sight on the partnerships we've made. We just decided to come together and, as you keep saying, unify to really make one big impact on a specific organization that as a whole, I think everybody can get behind. You know, it's real clean for us to get the word out what we're doing. There's not really a cross message being sent. It's come in, this is where your money's going, and then you're actually going to get to watch it. Like, you know, they're going to air the Special Olympics. You're going to get to root for people from your own state, and you're really going to see, you know, smiles on all of these athletes' faces. And maybe you'll either sub that day, too, while you're watching these in June, and think about how you helped really bring joy and excitement to so many people's lives, and just the you know, people just being inspired to watch and see what they can do, no matter where they're at.
So you make it really easy for people to get some benefit of giving with all the specials and the perks that they can get every day by going in and making a donation during March and the remainder of this month of giving. But you guys also make it easy for people on the go because you've introduced an ordering app that helps. And if people order through the app, do they have an opportunity also to get involved in the giving?
Yeah, you can order on the app. There's always the roundup option. 18 cents, you know, duplicated adds up to be monumental. And it's a great option. The food will be ready for you to grab it and go. You know, obviously, if you're picking the food up, you can always donate when you come in and receive those coupon offers. Or, like I said, you just round up and know where it's going. And you get your food to wherever you are. You know, it's really easy these days to get food where you are when you need it. So,
very good. Well, we appreciate you taking a few moments out of your busy day to kind of get us oriented as to what Jersey Mike's is doing and how they're doing it, and how this year, for the first time, all of the franchises are united around supporting the 2022 Special Olympics USA Games. So we're going to say farewell to you for now, and we're going to take a quick break and pick it up with our friends at Connecticut Special Olympics to hear more. So in the meantime, thank you so much for your time this morning, Mitchell.
We appreciate the opportunity to invite everybody out and let them know what we're doing. And as always, John, thanks and stay healthy until next time.
Very good, sir. Thank you. Hey, do you volunteer for or receive services from any of the hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations in our region? Or maybe you're just looking for ways to help. If your favorite nonprofit is hosting a fundraiser or community building activity, or you'd like to find a nonprofit to support in your neighborhood, just go to our radio station website, hit the events tab, and find one, or discover some of the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm John Voquette, your public affairs director here at Connoisseur Media, and we'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. If you're looking to plan for some fun while doing some good, then join BH Care on June 4th for their annual A Chance to Shine celebration and benefit at Quarry Walk in Oxford. At 10 a.m., you can walk in honor of victims of domestic violence. Then the Community Fun Day commences with food trucks, live music, a touch of truck, and more. The BH Care family of programs includes services that may have touched you or someone you know. BH Care Valley and Shoreline Clinics, the Umbrella Center for Domestic Violence Services, the Parent-Child Resource Center, the Hope Family Justice Center, or the Alliance for Prevention and Wellness. All proceeds from this event benefit these critical and life-saving services BH Care is providing to Connecticut adults and children. If you'd like more information, go to A Chance to Shine CT and sign on. Well, we are back, and as promised, we have our guest, Katie Dennett. She is the Director of Partnerships and Corporate Relations for Special Olympics Connecticut, and I got to imagine, Katie, that everybody at the office is just so fired up now that things are getting a little bit more back in person and that we're gearing up for the USA Games and Connecticut Olympians going down to Florida to participate with the help and support of our friends at Jersey Mike's. We just got off the line talking to Mitchell Thompson about all the different ways folks can go out for the rest of March to any of the Jersey Mike's locations within the sound of my voice and make a donation and get a little something back for the effort, or to go out on March 30th, their day of giving, where 100% of all proceeds at every restaurant, every Jersey Mike's across the country, thousands of restaurants are going to go to work sending Special Olympics athletes and teams down to Florida. But for folks that may not be thinking big about sending their young adult or child to a USA Games situation. Special Olympics really has something for every qualified kid in the neighborhood, don't they?
We absolutely do. We here in Connecticut, we provide year-round sports training and athletic competition in a variety of Olympic-type sports for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. We have a large unified sports program within our schools where people with an intellectual disability can play with someone on the same team without an intellectual disability. So we really reach everyone throughout the state. We have over 70 local programs statewide. Our athletes are, you know, literally everywhere. We have 10,000 volunteers, over 700 coaches. We offer 28 different sports. We have four annual state competitions throughout the year, which we are just returning to post-COVID, which we could not be more excited about. We just had a fantastic Winter Games in the Hartford area, and we are now gearing up to host our annual Summer Games in the Fairfield County region, as well as sending our Team Connecticut athletes down to Orlando to compete and make us all proud like they always do.
Well, before we talk about that, there's two audiences I want to hit in the next few minutes. The first is, as you started to do, addressing parents, loved ones, and caregivers of individuals with developmental and other disabilities, but also folks who volunteer or want to be part of the support system, because I know from almost a lifetime of working in and around and proximate to Special Olympics, when you go to a Special Olympics practice or you go to a Special Olympics meeting or a party or an activity, there are, it almost seems there are more volunteers, adults, and supporters than there are actual Special Olympic athletes.
Absolutely. One of the things that we hear the most from our volunteers is that they think that they're signing up to come and give back to somebody else and do something good for someone else. Yet their experience at the event did more for them personally. And then they just fall in love with it and then keep coming back and keep coming back. We could not do what we do without the help and support of our volunteers year round. We definitely, you know, have opportunities at all of our events. And if you'd like to check out an event to come and volunteer at, we tell you, please check out our website at www.socT.org. Our volunteer opportunities are up there, both at our events. So if you're looking to come out one day to come and support, you can do that. Or if you want to get more involved, like you were speaking about, and becoming a coach or a volunteer on a team and help our athletes practice for their 8 weeks of training before they get to that event, we have opportunities for that, and we are everywhere. So please definitely check that out.
Very good. So let's talk about Orlando, June 5 through 12. It's the 2022 yes. Special Olympics USA Games. Tell us about who we're going to get to turn on the TV and watch from Connecticut.
Oh my gosh, we have such a phenomenal team of Team Connecticut going. We're sending 52 delegates from Connecticut to represent in the USA Games in Orlando. We have a group of 16 track and field athletes and partners. We have a basketball team, which is our unified high school basketball team from Simsbury, is representing us. We have four gymnasts, which is the first time Connecticut has ever been sending any gymnasts, so we're really excited about that. We have seven swimmers. We have a small group of three who are going to represent Connecticut in our youth leadership program. So they'll get to enjoy a youth experience leadership program, and they come from Coggenchalk High School. We also have people, a whole team from Shelton High School representing in track and field. So we're represented all over the place, all over Connecticut, which has been great to partner with Jersey Mike's. We're getting our team out there, and they've been all over the state, you know, spotlighting Jersey Mike's and themselves. So I do hope that you all tune in to these events and cheer on Team Connecticut, because they will certainly make us proud.
Well, for decades, Special Olympics has been something that helps bring communities together and promotes inclusion. But it really sounds like the opportunity for all these athletes to get together, it transcends anything that they might experience in the four seasonal state games, because this is going to not only be an opportunity to interact with athletes from all across the state who may become friends and that they may form lifelong relationships with, but also an opportunity to meet folks from the other 49 states that are participating.
It is absolutely an experience of a lifetime for many of our athletes. Some of our athletes never even traveled out of state before. This might be their first time on a plane traveling to Florida, their first time getting to go to Orlando, seeing Disney World. Our coach of Simsbury High School, the basketball team, Matt Spector, I was speaking with him just yesterday, and he said ever since he got involved with Special Olympics, attending the USA Games has been a dream of his. So this is just an incredible opportunity to meet, you know, people all over the United States, to share their passion of Special Olympics and unified sports, and really, you know, sharing the message that, you know, the revolution is inclusion. And, you know, we are moving towards a much, you know, inclusive world. And I'm excited to see that.
Excellent. Well, tell people how they can learn more about Special Olympics, how they can maybe get a young person that they know and love involved, or they can get involved themselves, or, you know, you have no shortage of corporate sponsors, Jersey Mike's included, but many, many organizations help partner with Special Olympics and utilize this as a team building exercise like no other.
Absolutely. We're proud to say that we work with a lot of corporate sponsorships that really use our platform to engage their employees and to give back to the community. To learn more about any opportunity we have, whether you want to sign up your child with an intellectual disability to be an athlete, sign up your child without one to be a unified partner, please go to our website, www.soct.org. Our headquartered office is in Hamden. That's 203-230-1201. And at any time, any one of us would be happy to talk to you about how to have you join the revolution that is inclusion.
And if you're just feeling hungry, you can also support Special Olympics Connecticut and the athletes going to the 2022 Special Olympics USA Games by just stopping into any Jersey Mike's franchise every single day for the rest of March, especially on March 30th when the Day of Giving returns 100% of sales to support the 2022 Special Olympics USA Games. We want to thank Mitchell Thompson from Jersey Mike's and Katie Dennett from Connecticut Special Olympics for bringing us up to speed on all the excitement. And we'll see you in Orlando, Katie. Thank you so much. So as we heard in the introduction, we are going to, through the power of telephone technology, join Frank DeVera, who's CEO of the Palace Theater of Waterbury, one of the many palaces, and in my opinion, about the greatest palace in Waterbury, or the greatest palace theater I've been to anywhere, because I've been going there, as we talked about a little before we turned on the microphone, since I was a wee little child. I think I saw a couple of my first movies there, a couple of my first concerts there. And since then, I have been a fixture and probably sat in almost virtually every row and loge. And it's a gorgeously renovated landmark in downtown Waterbury. So, Frank, here to celebrate 100 years with you, the first of probably what will be a couple of broadcasts this year as the Palace celebrates. So welcome to the program.
It's great to be here, John. Thank you so much. Thanks for the kind words. And I could not agree more about our Palace Theater being the nicest Palace Theater in the state. And I'm going to take a little leap, and I'm going to say regionally, this Palace Theater, through its restoration, is the gem. And we could not be more proud to celebrate 100 years in this venue.
So you've been around the Waterbury area for quite a while as well, haven't you?
Yep, not 100 years, but for clarity. But yeah, no, I have been the CEO or executive director, depending on time and place, in the building for 20 years. So I have been 2 years prior to the grand reopening. I was involved as the executive director, really kind of putting the programmatic plan together, working with the architects and the construction team in the restoration process. And then from that point, those 2 years, I was building a board, building a staff, putting program plans, and also booking shows. And we reopened this theater in 2004. And since that point, I've been, at the helm of this wonderful organization celebrating 100 years.
Yeah, and not just for theater and concerts, but you also host graduations and corporate events. You have activities in your lobby, in the upstairs kind of grand concourse area, and you have the Poli Club. The Palace Theater is a lot more than just a stage and a show house.
Absolutely. One of the original intents, John, back 20 plus years ago, when the building was being heavily discussed, when the building restoration process was in place, was that this building had to be more than just, a presenting house for touring productions coming through, but it had to be a place for the community as well. And when you walk through the door, and you've been through the doors, and for those who have not, when they, experience that first moment when they walk through our venue, see the grandeur of the space, how wonderful palatial, with no pun intended, the building is, we wanted to make sure that anybody and everybody would have access to this venue in some way, shape, or form. So to your point, we have married brides and grooms in this venue because they're hosting their ceremony and receptions here. We've held Chamber of Commerce events here because it is a wonderful business after hours location. We've graduated post-university, Naugatuck Valley Community College, as well as a host of other high schools and grammar schools here in this building. So anybody in the community, in the greater Waterbury community, really has had an ability to come into the space, even if it wasn't a show. Even if it wasn't some of the fantastic touring Broadway productions or headlining musical acts, they've had an opportunity to experience the venue in a different way, shape, or form. And we're committed to that mission, moving forward to engage as many people as possible.
Yeah, talking about servicing generations of not only theater lovers, but theater workers with your literal connection to the Waterbury Arts Magnet School.
Absolutely. I mean, that is one of the things, again, when we look at the formal foundation of this venue, we were physically, being restored, which is could not be more pleased with that. We were physically connected to the Waterbury Arts Magnet School. So those students utilize our theater, our building, as their performance home. So not only do they have the luxury of having this top quality, best, venue to perform in, which most high school students don't have that luxury, John. If you've been in a high school production, sometimes sure. They're in the gym, they're in the cafeteria, they're in their own high school auditorium. This is not your standard high school auditorium. So the WAMs, the students at Waterbury Arts Magnet School, have the ability to perform in this space. But also what they do have is a luxury that they can work with our professional stagehands, and get technical skill in putting on their own productions. So should there be a talented student who may be a wonderful performer but rather be behind the scenes and be on the stage, they can do job shadowing programs with our crew so they can learn not only how to present in front of an audience, but how to make the magic happen backstage. So it's a great educational and artistic opportunity for many students. And we've seen one of our recent graduates over 3 or 4 years ago. She's the production manager for a Broadway show that was out on the road just a year ago. So, I mean, we know that we've had we've given great assets, great skill set, and now they're making it from, you know, from school to career. It's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, and also really welcoming, as you said, you want to be something for everyone in the community. You're also tied to the UConn branch that is directly across the street. I mean, from programs. I mean, I remember being honored to be one of the people who starred and had their image and a few remarks broadcast when you opened up the new marquee, and you brought in people to tell stories about their experiences at the Palace. But you continue to bring in individuals, and I reference this second act series that has been so well received and so popular at the Palace Theater. And it really it does give a chance for people in a big city like Waterbury to get to know a little bit more about their cool neighbors.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I have found, John, I'm not originally from Waterbury, but I've been, you know, working in this community for 20 years. The one thing about the Waterbury and the greater Waterbury community is exactly that, a sense of community, right? So, you know, this is when people come to the theater, when people come to either present, attend, they feel as if they are part of this venue, whether historically they saw a show as a kid, whether they performed like yourself, or whether, you know, they were, a bystander. So we really work hard to make sure that those personal connections exist, because we want those patrons to want to return. They want to come back, and more importantly, to feel comfortable when they come here. So to your point about the second act series we have, it was a great idea. I have to give Sherry Marcucci, our director of marketing at the time, the accolades for coming up with this idea, because it was really a way to get those individuals in what we're calling their second act of their life, who have maybe made a pivot, who've decided that, you know, banking was good, but now I want to volunteer and do some other work. Or I was doing this, and now I'm a creative writer. Giving people the opportunity to think creatively about the fact that when you get to that age of 50 and 55, life's not over. There's another opportunity. You can pivot and do something else, rewarding that for yourself personally, for the community, and really kind of encouraging people to think actively about what can you do to give back? What can you do to better yourself as you're getting older, as opposed to I retired and I'm sitting and playing golf or sitting on a beach.
Sure.
So it really has been interesting to showcase many of those community individuals, both near and far, who've had some incredibly exciting stories to share and hopefully motivate others to think, I can do something else. So I can, you know, I can get off my couch. I don't have to just be sitting around. I can do something else and make an impact. You know, that's part of the arts, you know, that live engagement, encouraging others to do more, entertaining and educating. That's all part of our community mission, and we really couldn't be more pleased with what we've been able to achieve.
Well, in the last 5 minutes or so that we have with you, Frank, let's turn our attention to the centennial year here. Of course, one of the cool things is that as much as we'd like every single person to be able to go and enjoy the Palace Theater in Waterbury in this centennial year and beyond, but for a lot of people who may live elsewhere, who may have enjoyed the Palace in the past, you give them a chance to support the organization through patronage, as well as maybe getting something back for themselves. You've got your annual raffle going on, and you've got this kind of almost this kickoff event coming up on March 26th, this documentary screening of Mr. Wonderland. Tell us all about that.
Yeah, no, exactly. You're exactly right. It's our 100-year anniversary. Sylvester Poli was the originator, the founder of our Palace Theater, and he was quite the impresario within the theater world back in his day, over 100 years ago. On March 26th, we're showing the film documentary of his life, which not only features our venue, but also features Sylvester Poli's life, moving from Italy to coming to New York, and how he created something from nothing, quite honestly, and became that kind of magnet that he ended up being. He had visible roots in New Haven. So Sylvester Poli's impact on the state of Connecticut is incredibly rich. We felt it was important to be able to celebrate his heritage and his history on March 26th with a free showing of that movie. for, so to your point, John, those who may not be able to afford, may not have the desire, may have other things to do, on March 26th, we're offering a free movie. So it's going to be free popcorn, a champagne toast to celebrate our 100 years, but really a way to kind of celebrate a century of richness that Sylvester Povai has brought to us, and we still are benefiting from his vision today in 2022. So that's, you know, March 26th at 1:30 p.m. is a wonderful way for people to see the theater for free and experience what the venue was. It was an old movie house back 100 years ago. We thought, why not celebrate it again as a movie venue and offer it free to the public? So that's exciting for us. To your point about the raffle, we're a not-for-profit organization, as most performing arts centers like ours are. So we rely on the generosity and the contributions of individuals, corporate members, et cetera. So we have a raffle which raises, you know, could be in excess of $20,000 for us to help offset the costs of operating a historic building like this. Great way to get involved for a reasonable ticket price. And there's a cash prize, and there's a total of 6 prizes this year. So it's an affordable way to get engaged. I think the important thing to note is the fact that over the last 2 years, John, we have suffered. The theaters have suffered considerably because of COVID. We've been unable to do our business, unable to welcome people in our traditional format, which was without restrictions and as many people as possible. So many theaters across the country are suffering. I encourage all patrons who are listening, support your arts venues, support live theater, because we need to come back and we need the support of the patrons to do so.
And looking across just the landscape of the next few weeks after we air this talk, Frank, March 27th, table readings, reflections on the voices of African-American women. You've got your next jazz series spring concert with the Dana Loren Trio. Children of all ages, I mean, really, a four-generation opportunity on April 2nd. Bring your great-grandkids, your grandkids, your kids, and yourself to the Wizard of Oz on the big screen with the Waterbury Symphony Orchestra supplying the music, the Broadway smash hit Waitress coming in for a few days in mid-April, and your next second act event coming up by the end of the month. You've got rock concerts, other popular activities. You've got small intimate activities going on. Graduation season will be upon you, and we'll see more caps and gowns coming down the aisle there at the Palace. Any other, in the last minute or so that we have with you, super high points that you have planned for maybe into the summer and beyond?
Yeah, absolutely. Two things real quickly is the fact on June 4th, and I say this almost because it's almost a 2-year anniversary, Jersey Boys is returning to the Palace Theater on June 4th. It was 2 years ago, March 14th, 2019, when we had to cancel that production because everything was shutting down. It's exciting that 2 years plus later, we are able to bring it back. So for those people who want to Broadway production of Jersey Boys, June 4th is a rescheduled date. Couldn't be more excited about that. And then our one of our kind of the exclamation point to our season is on June 10th. We're having it's a 100 year party. It's going to be a block party. It's going to be outside of our building plus inside of our building with live entertainment, a laser light show, food and drink, entertainment throughout our spaces, both in and out of the building. So people can just come down, celebrate the completion of East Main Street, which is finally done, be comfortable meeting with people both indoors and outdoors if there's still some hesitancy, but really kind of put an exclamation point on our 100-year anniversary season by having a block party outside that could be fun for all ages. It's a Friday evening. It's going to be an incredible time. That is going to be kind of our signature event to wrap up what has been a challenging year.
And corporates and nonprofits can also be a help by booking their private event, meeting, or party there. Or maybe you and your groom, or you and your bride, or significant other would like to walk down that gorgeous main staircase in the lobby, because you can have an award-winning wedding at the Palace Theater in Waterbury during its 100th anniversary year and beyond as well. It's all available for you, and contacts for those and other activities, all the activities happening at the Palace Theater of Waterbury at Palace Theater CT. That's a theater with a T-E-R at the end, palacetheaterct.org. Frank Tavera is their CEO. Happy 100th anniversary, Frank, and we'll see you at the Palace. Thanks so much for being part of the program. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for an issue, a guest, or a PSA relevant to the audience and community served by our radio station, you must make a request for consideration in writing to me via email at john.voquette@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Join us again this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.